The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
Amen. God bless you. Remain standing if you would. Ushers, you can receive this offering. If you got your Bibles, hold it high up in the air. Amen. How many are ready for the Word of God today? Come on now. How many are ready for the Word of God today? Yeah. Come on. Say this out loud. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. I receive the Word of God with faith. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. You sound amazing this morning. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. Matthew 11, 12. Today I want to bring to you part 10 of our sermon series called Unstoppable. Now, when you look online for this message, whether it be social media or whatever, I didn't put a title there, and I did that intentionally, because the title of this message has a very inflammatory word, and I want to be very clear. The title of the message is Be Violent. Now, I'm not talking about being violent in the way that we've seen, even in this region, this area, over the last several weeks, the violence that has happened here. God does not want us harming people in any way. Can I hear an amen? And we're mindful of some people who have been touched by violence. Lives have been altered and changed by human, demonic violence. And we stand against that, and we must, as a church, seek to help be the answer to the horrendous violence that we see around us. Can I hear an amen? With that being said, I want to talk about being violent, but not in the way that we've seen where the enemy has hijacked that word. Jesus is going to use some terminology here that for some seems quite different than the mindset they have about Jesus. He's going to say this in verse 12, Matthew 11, 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. We'll talk about what that could mean. It's troubling. Many theologians who comment on scriptures find that to be a troubling language that Jesus would use. We have this mindset of Jesus that, you know, he's just this sweet, you know, kind of passive guy walking around, just loving everybody and being gentle and kind. And of course he is, right? He is loving. And I do believe he's gentle. And I do believe that he cares for people. That's one side of him. But there's another side of him. There's a side that he would make a statement. He said, think not that I've come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword. Meaning that there's this thing that God will want to do in your life, and you must recognize in this cosmic war that we're in. This enemy is trying to stop you and to keep you from being anything God. You have a force that's against you. And in order for you and I to be what God's called us to be, we've got to fight for it. Can I hear an amen? We've got to rise up and fight. He says here, from the days of John the Baptist until now, he's inaugurating this change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. He says, and violent men. Somebody say violent men. Talk about being unstoppable. How do you be unstoppable? One, you've got to be violent. Again, not in the way that you've seen, but in another way, a redemptive way. Amen? Violent men take it by force. I want to talk to you about how to be violent for the kingdom of God. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I pray today for the anointing upon your word. I ask you, Father, for the grace, the mercy, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to take this subject and this trigger word for many people, but to be able to accurately and appropriately apply it to our lives so that we can rise up and be what God's called us to be and do what God's called us to do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, so in your study notes, I gave a dictionary from the Oxford Dictionary. It was the second meaning of the word violent. The word violent is to have an emotion. It's an emotion, an unpleasant, destructive force. It means literally to be strong. Somebody say, be strong. Powerful. We talk about having a violent dislike, or we talk about that was a violent wind. It was powerful. It was a strong wind. It was something that was passionate. Can I hear an amen? So then with that definition in mind, we go back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and we see something a little different than with that verse. He's going to say the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. We're going to look at that verse, maybe some alternate translations of that. It suffers this powerful, forceful thing, that word violence there. And then it goes in, and violent men or passionate, people with a strong desire, they are the ones that take it by force. Now, why would that be the case? Well, I think one of the things you have to understand in order to get this verse is to understand exactly what is our environment. Our environment is the default environment is sin. Default environment is darkness. What do I mean by that? You're not born righteous. You're born sinful. You were born not in the kingdom of God, but you were born first. I'm talking about your natural birth into a kingdom of darkness. You see, default status of all of our lives, default status, things that you don't have to worry about. Just you're in default. You're just in neutral. You're just there in passive mode. Passive mode is sin. Passive mode is darkness coming into your life. And the only way to rise up out of the default is you've got to want to come out of it. Can I hear an amen? You're going to have to do something extra. You can't just go through the motions. If you just live life, you're going to end in sin. If you live life, as people say, you're going to end in darkness. So the only way to change where I'm at, see, that's what Jesus is talking about from the days of John the Baptist until now. He's talking about this transition, this thing that's starting to happen, that they were in darkness and that's all that was there. But now, through the inauguration of the kingdom of God, through what Jesus came to do, that he gives us another answer to live in this world. But it doesn't come by passivity. It doesn't come by living in neutral and just trying to get along. You know, you think about different things in our own lives. You take a person that's married. If you're passive about your marriage, you're not going to have a very good marriage. You have to be active and pursue that thing. Can I hear an amen? You have to go after having a really good marriage. Same thing with anything in your own life. You know, it could be your health, being passive about your health and just kind of living life, doing your own thing, doing whatever you want. No, you have to work at keeping your body healthy. Amen? So Jesus is going to say the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Or the NASB gives us another translation of this, a little note down there. It says, where it says suffers violence, the note is forcibly entered. The kingdom of heaven is forcefully entered, or it's entered by people who truly want to have what God's called you to have. Being passive about, well, you know, whatever God wants, then that's what he'll do. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. If you want the kingdom of God to come in your life, you are going to have to go after it with everything you've got. Can I hear an amen? You're going to have to be a person that rises up and says, I'm not just going to accept where I'm at and what I was born into and where my life is. You've got to be a person that says, no, I'm stepping out of my DNA. I'm stepping out of my bloodline. I'm stepping out of where my family was from. And I'm ready to rise up and be what God's called me to be. Amen? And so it's entered into forcibly, and then it says, and they, the violent person or the passionate person or the strong person, they seize it. I like that. They seize it for themselves. And I think about the people in the Old Testament and the heroes of the faith, and I think about a characteristic about them. It's very interesting. People like Jacob, who would have the audacity to wrestle with God all night long. He would even say, let me go. But yet Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now I'm going to tell you, religious people will say, oh, you can't talk to God that way. He'll turn you into a greasy spot. That's disrespectful. That's dishonoring. No, it pleased God. I said it pleased God for somebody to have that kind of tenacity that says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to seize it. I'm going to grab a hold of what's mine. I'm not letting go. Amen? So today I want to talk to you about what does this look like for the Christian? What picture can we get of examples of being violent in our faith, of taking what God's called us to have? Amen? So I want you to turn to your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 8 through 12. 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 12. As you turn there, we're going to look at what the inspired writer wrote about these three mighty men, the Bible is going to call them. Now, while you're turning there, I'll share this with you. And when you study the Bible, one of the things that you'll notice as you study the Word of God is there's this idea called reticence. The Bible has reticence in it. What does that mean? That means that oftentimes there will be details that we would like to know. Have you ever read the Bible and as you're reading the Bible, it just kind of glosses through a certain subject and you're like, wait, I'd like to know more about that. But it doesn't tell you. And you're like, man, wouldn't that be helpful to know that bit of information as I'm reading? But it's not there. It's like the Bible is reticent in giving us certain details. However, on the other hand of that, we see that there are times that the Bible will give us very intricate details. And you're like, wow, you know, I'm seeing every little thing that's going on there. So what is it? Well, we trust that the Holy Spirit knows what we need to know. Amen? That way, if I don't see a detail, all humans, we love to fill in the blanks. If the detail's not given in the Word of God, it's because the Holy Spirit did not see fit to give me that detail. And why would I spend time on things that he said I didn't need to know? But with that same heart, when I do see a detail in the Bible, I pay attention to it. I know there's a message behind it. I know, well, he withholds some things from my good, so he's going to reveal certain things for my good. Amen? And we see that here in 2 Samuel 23. I'm sure you've turned there by now. Verses 8 through 12, we're gonna read about these three men. The Holy Spirit saw fit to talk to us about these three of the greatest fighting men in David's army. Not only are we going to get a name for each of these three men, but we're actually going to begin to get some details about their life. And this is going to show us what does it mean if we're talking about being violent in our faith, to be unstoppable, to be violent, to rise up and be passionate. And what does that look like? That's what I want to know. And that's what we see right here. Amen. So we're going to read verses 8 through 12. Now I will tell you, there are some Bible names in here that are a little bit difficult to pronounce. And so Pastor Kev McKnight told me years ago, he said, when you see one of those names, just plow right on through it. So that's what I'm going to do. So some of these things are probably not the correct pronunciation of these, but we're going to plow right on through them. Amen? It says, these are the names of the mighty men to whom David had. Verse 8, 2 Samuel 23. Josh-Abes-Heth-Beth. A Tachmonite, probably not correct, chief of the captains. He was called Adino, the Esnite. And why? So we get his name. Now we're going to get a detail. Because 800 men slain by him at one time. This guy was dangerous for the kingdom of God. Amen. Verse 9. And after him is Eleazar, son of Dodo. What an interesting name. The Ahoyite. Of these three mighty men that David had, when they defied the Philistines who had gathered into battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. So now here you got this son of Dodo sitting in the middle of a field. Everybody else walks away. They're on the battleground. The men of Israel turned tail and ran, it says. Verse 10, it says, he arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. What an amazing detail there. His hand grabbed a hold of that sword. It clung to it. While he alone, everybody else has turned tail and run. He's fighting these Philistines. And look at what it says. And the Lord brought about a great victory. Somebody say the Lord. The Lord did it. Now I'm sure Eleazar probably said, now wait, we mean the Lord did it. I was out there on that battlefield. I'm the one that was swinging the sword. Can I tell you that every victory in your life might have your fingerprints on it, but make no mistake, it was the Lord that brought you through. Can I hear an amen? Because there ain't no way this guy was going to be able to defeat them by himself. How did he do it? He did it. The Lord did it. But he grabbed a hold of the sword. Amen? And then look at this little detail. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Have you ever had anybody show up after the battle's over? We call them blisters. They show up when the work's done. People who are supposed to be there fighting with you, they're not fighting with you, but when things are going good, they're your friend. You're like, where were you when the battle was going on? That happens. I said that happens, doesn't it? So it goes on to say Verse 11, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, Harite. And the Philistines gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. Those are beans. Anybody here like lentil soup? It's a little patch of bean patch. Everybody, the Philistines are going after the bean patch. And look what happens. And the people fled before the Philistines. Now we're talking about being violent. We're talking, what does it look like? It looks like sometimes there's a bean patch and everybody leaves it. But guess what? God gave you that bean patch. Amen? So what does he do? He said, verse 12, but he took his stand in the midst of the plot. That means when nobody else was willing to fight for a bean patch that God had given him, he said, I'm not leaving. If I got to stand here by myself, can I hear an amen? The Bible says he defended it and struck the Philistines and the Lord. You see that there again. I said the Lord. The Lord brought about a great victory. So what does godly violence look like? What does it look like to be violent for the kingdom of God? Well, I think we can learn a few lessons from these three men. As the Holy Spirit tells us that this is what the mighty ones look like in the kingdom. So if you got a pencil and piece of paper, I want you to jot down 1 through 3. Osama bin Laden, when he was interviewed about the taking down of the towers and all the other things that he did, you know what he said about Americans? He said, Americans will fight until they start seeing the body bags come over. And then they'll quit. Point number one, be a warrior. Have a warrior mentality. Having a mentality that doesn't start a fight, but knows how to stay in a fight. You see, we see that with these. We see Adino fighting 800. We see Eleazar fighting all by himself, and Shammah the same thing. These weren't people that just had a good start. These were people that knew how to stay in the fight. To have that mindset that says, I'm going to keep fighting and I'm not going to stop until I see a victory. Can I hear an amen? The problem with too many Christians is that we're fine to get started, but once the fight starts, we can't stay. We can't stay. Oh, you have people, you know, in their relationships, you know, they start get together and they're all in their, you know, they're in that honeymoon phase or they're in that infatuation phase and all that stuff. And that lasts for about 6 months to 2 years, sociologists say, and whatever. But then, you know, they go and get married and all of a sudden they see a wart they didn't know was there. How long have you had that wart? I didn't marry that wart. Now, my wife doesn't have any warts, so I'm not just saying that. Has your breath always smelled like that? That was a rhetorical question. You're in that phase and you know they say people, oh, we're so much alike. It's like we're the same person until you get married. Then all of a sudden you realize you're not the same person. Things are different, right? It ain't always easy raising kids. That's all I got to say about that. You got to stay the fight. We like to start. Oh, people come to church. Oh, man, this is a great church. Man, you're great. Where have you been all my life? People, I just cross my arms and go, I wonder how long they're going to stay. They're going to stay until I say or do something or not do something or whatever, disappoint them in some way. Or if somebody says something halfway, a little bit different, and they'll, I love you, Pastor John. I love you, Pastor John. Then one little thing, and they're out the door. Mouthing the whole time they're walking out the door. Because we know how to start good. But that's not the point of being a mighty warrior for the kingdom of God. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. Can I hear an amen? And I know you're seeing up here me hobbling. It's not because I'm an old man. And I don't want to talk too much about this. But y'all know I ran a marathon yesterday. 26.2 miles. The glory. Well, it wasn't pretty, let me tell you. It was the slowest one I've ever done. But I'll tell you what happened. Last week, I hurt my knee. Week before, I hurt my knee. And tried to rehab it. You know, I've been training for months. And now, the week before, I mean, feeling great. Week before, all of a sudden, hurt my knee. I'm like, just out of the blue. I'm rehabbing it. I'm thinking, I don't even have time to rehab this thing. But release my faith, pray over it, start doing good, was real gentle with it, started the race, got in the race and was doing good and was hitting my mile markers and hitting my paces, feeling great. Everybody say feeling great. Doing good. I was probably going to finish around, you know, a little bit under 3 or 4 hours, going to be in the 3-hour range. And I thought, oh, that's good. That's awesome. That's great. Until mile 18 came. And on mile 18, they changed the route, and it's over by where the George Rogers Clark cabin used to be, you know, the one that burned down. And there is a steep decline downhill right there. And at mile 18, on that decline, my knee, I hurt my knee again. Hard, bad, pain. Now, I could have done a did not finish, but that is not in my DNA. I said, that is not in my DNA. And I had 8 more miles to run. Now, my pace has suffered from there. I went from running in the high eights and stuff like that into 11 and 12 minutes per mile, having to walk some. But I kept telling myself, I'm finishing this race. If I've got to crawl through that finish line, I am not stopping. I am not quitting. It was about finishing. Can I hear an amen? But you know where I got that mindset? I got that mindset serving God. I got that mindset because I know when it comes to anything that God has ever done in my life, I had to be a person that didn't just start. We got a lot of people starting a whole lot of things and they get a little bit disappointed and something doesn't happen just right. And then they just want to quit and throw their hands up. But friend, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that God is about to raise up some people that when they go into battle, they know how not just to start that thing, but they know how to take it to the end in Jesus' name. They say, I'm not quitting until I get to the finish line. Come on, somebody, if that's you, give God a hand of praise. Give God a shout of victory. In Jesus' name, we ain't quitting. We got a warrior mindset that says, I'm not going to stop. Can I hear an amen? And I believe that about you. I believe that if you'll make a decision like these did, they made a decision to go after God and to fight for the things of God. And as they made a decision through insurmountable odds, God brought about the victory. Can I hear an amen? When you decide that you're going to stick it out, God's going to bring about victory in your life. Number two, I want you to see that God wants us to be committed, or being violent for the kingdom of God means to be committed to the word of God. Look at verses 9 through 10. It says, Eleazar, as he fought, it says his hand was stuck to the sword. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible gives us an offensive weapon, doesn't it? It says it's called the sword of the, which is the, The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I believe this detail is there for a reason. I believe prophetically it speaks to us by saying that when we go through a battle, we have got to cling to that. The Word of the Lord. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active. Have you ever found it that to be true? I mentioned earlier, there's times I'll read the Bible, things that I've read many, many times before, and all of a sudden it's speaking something to me. It's alive. It's speaking to me right where I'm at that moment. No other book have I ever read that can do that. There's something about this Bible that's different. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Someone said, two-edged sword, what could that mean? Well, let me tell you, the Bible can be characterized into two situations in the Bible. One is commands to be obeyed. And two is promises to be believed. You can really look at it that way. As far as my response to the Word of God, what I'm to do with the Word of God, how it affects my life, it comes down to two things. Commands to be obeyed. If you want to use the Word of God, you want to live a life that wins and that walks in the kingdom of God and become unstoppable, you're going to have to do what God said. That means that when you don't like it, you're going to have to change your like. I had a preacher tell me once, he says, well, if the Holy Spirit rubbed the kitty cat the wrong way, turn the kitty cat around. Now, I have no idea what that means. But the point is, I think differently than what God says. Then you need to change your thinking. Amen? Well, I got a different opinion. Well, you need to change your opinion. That's obeying God. Number two, though, is you're going to have to believe what it tells you to believe. What does it tell you? What promise does the Bible make about your family? What promise does the Bible make about your life and your children and what have you? You're going to have to grab a hold of that thing and say, I'm not letting go. I'm going to keep swinging this sword of the Word of God. I'm going to keep hold of it. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on to it like my life depends on it. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It does. What your life, as far as what God wants to do in it, it matters that you grab a hold of the Word of God. And not stop. I know it's hard sometimes. I know things happen that are confusing. And I know sometimes the battle can get hard and it can go long. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I said, you're going to make it as you hold on to God's word and saying, I refuse to let go. Can I hear an amen? You get anything out of this today? Give the Lord a great big hand. Number three. You've got to be willing to fight alone sometimes. Could have used any of these examples, but I like Shema there, verses 11 and 12. When everybody left that bean patch, when they said that bean patch ain't worth fighting for, Shema thought differently. I said Shema thought differently. He said, that thing may not be valuable to you, but you know why it's valuable to me? Because God gave it to me. I'm going to fight for it. There are going to be times in your life you're going to have something that's important to you that God put in your heart. And I thank God over the times. I've got a wonderful wife, and she has sat there and fought with me. I mean, not like fought with me. I mean, fought beside me. I mean, she may have fought with me a couple times, but most of the time we're fighting. We're fighting together. God bless me. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. You've got to be willing. I want you to look at me right now. To fight for that dream that God has put inside of you that nobody else cares about. There's going to be times God's going to give you something. And not everybody's going to always understand what's going on inside of you. And why you want that thing. And why you're going out. Did you hear me, church? Are you listening to me? Sometimes God's going to give you a bean patch called a dream and a vision. That nobody else thinks it's worth my time to fight for that. They've done turn tail and run. But you say, no, God put this in me and I'm going to stand and fight for it if I've got to fight by myself. Come on, somebody. Shema got in the middle of that bean patch that wasn't worth much to anybody else, but he says it's worth something to me because God gave me that bean patch, and I refuse to allow the enemy to take anything that God has promised me. I'm not giving up. I don't care if nobody else is fighting. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Shema fought, but God's the one that gave the victory. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to be willing at times to refuse. I refuse to take the glory for anything that God has brought about in my life. And I'll tell you this, if you're willing to give God glory for every battle you'll ever win, you're going to start winning some battles in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet all over the house today. Stand to your feet today. God wants you to be violent. Not against people. Please hear me. Don't mishear me. I'm not talking about this senseless demonic junk that's going on. We as a church, we've got to curb that type of violence. And we've got to do what we can to be the answer. I'm talking about being violent the way Jesus said and taking the kingdom of God for your life. I'm talking about developing that war mindset. Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. You stay in default. Darkness and sin is what you're going to get. Defeat. That's default. If you're going to be anything other than that, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to rise up. You're going to have to square your shoulders. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand. You're going to have to set your face like a flint and say, I'm going to get everything God promised me. Can I hear an amen? If you'll do that and say, I'm willing to fight and I'm going to stay on the word of God and I'm not quitting. I have to fight by myself. I ain't quitting. Because I got a little news for you. Y'all ready for this? Whenever you fight for the things of God, you're actually never by yourself. I said you're never by yourself. Because when you stand up to fight for the things that God has done in your life, there's somebody else going to be fighting there with you. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. He's the captain of the host of heaven. He's the one that knows how to bring a victory. He's the one who's never lost a battle. When you stand up and be violent, God's going to stand with you. Lift your hands up all over this house today. Come on, Father, I loosen this house of warrior mindset. Come on, begin to say, God, help me. Help me. Maybe you've quit sometimes. Maybe you hear this and you're like, oh, well, Pastor John, you know, you done preached against me and I feel bad now and I feel like I listen, you can make another change starting right now. You may have quit some battles before and that may have been your yesterday, but I got news for you. That doesn't have to be your tomorrow. You can develop a war mindset because you are more than what the enemy has said you are. You are more than what you know or what you think about yourself. God, I loose in this house, God, a mindset that says I'm going to war, I'm going to fight, I'm not going to quit, I'm going to grab a hold of the word of God even when sometimes things don't make sense. God, I'm going to stay on your word today. Father, I loose in this house, come on, I loose in this house right now a mindset, oh God, that says I'm going to fight, I'm going to war, I'm going to claw, I'm going to do what God's called me to do, I'm going to be what God's called me to be, no matter what's happened in my life today. Father, I thank you. I just want to pray for you right now. Just receive this prayer. I loose the anointing in this house to be violent for the kingdom of God. I loose an anointing in this house for people to walk in what they said is theirs. Their family, God, their marriages, oh God. Lord, the ministries, the dreams, the visions, God, that's inside of them, Lord, that looks bigger than them. I say to you, ma'am, I say to you, sir, if you'll fight for what God's put in your heart, God, it said it several times in this passage, God will bring about a victory. And if you'll give him the praise for it, come on, I want you right now to say, God, I've already determined I'm going to give you the praise for every victory that you do in my life. I determine, right, I refuse to touch the glory for this. I refuse to touch and to take the credit for this. I give you, God, the glory. And if you'll give him the glory, God's going to give you the victory in Jesus' name. Did you get anything out of this today? Can you give the Lord a great big hand of praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like a warrior to me. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at some warriors in this house. I'm looking at some people that know how to get things done for the kingdom of God in this house. I'm looking at some people who are going to take some territory. I'm looking at some people who are about to walk in a victory that only God can give them. That's what I'm looking at right now. That's what I'm looking at. Amen? That's you. I'm looking at a warrior. You get up tomorrow, you look in the mirror. You say, hello, warrior. Hello, warrior. Oh, yeah, you're going to take something for God today. Amen. You're going to fight for the things of God. You need to start talking to yourself that way. How are you? Oh, I'm violent. Well, you know what? Don't say that. Don't say that. You can say that under your breath. Some people misunderstand you. I will tell you, I'm a little bit mad that the enemy has hijacked that word. I'm ready to redeem that word for the kingdom of God. Amen. I am violently in love with you. Amen. I am violently rising up for what God said is mine. Amen. Father, today I thank you for your people. I just pray this over you right now. And I pray, Father, for such a great anointing that what the enemy has done, some of them have been in so many battles today. But God, today, they're coming up out of those levels. They're shaking the dust off of them. And they're getting back in the fight again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go out with a shout of victory.
Become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a kingdom building partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.